very much for coming. Can you hear me okay at the back? Wait, great. I think that mic's working. I have been a play worker a very long time ago. I've never been a teacher, as will become obvious. I've never taught GCSE, but I'm mainly going to talk about GCSE and the new GCSE. So I'm definitely going to stop on the hour to give us 20 minutes for you to tell me what I've got wrong and what you think about what I'm saying. How many of you are currently teaching the new GCSE, by the way, the one that's going to be examined next summer? Most of you. Right, you really do know more than me. How many of you think it's a really brilliant thing that we've got the new GCSE? Right. But guess what? I realise that some people might have read this title as meaning I'm going to talk about the geography in the UK in 2017, which I'm not. But I thought I should give you something about geography and the UK in 2017 in case you were disappointed. But what I'm going to tell you, you can't tell any of your pupils. You can't tell them these things because they're not in the GCSE. And if they're not in the GCSE, it's just going to confuse them, they're not going to get a high mark, you're going to be wasting that lesson. And the GCSE is so packed that you don't have a spare hour. You can tell me I'm wrong later. But if you want to know what I think is going on in 2017 with the UK, here's a summary I wrote of somebody yesterday. It doesn't matter how you measure it, whether you measure it by the Gini coefficient of income inequality according to the OECD, or whether you measure it by how much money the best off 10% take, the UK is now the most unequal country in Europe. That's not, of course, in the GCSE curriculum. Curriculum are always outdated. The curriculum I was taught in O-level as a child was all about our empire and where to get rubber from. So, of course, even the new curriculum will be outdated, but it won't touch on those kind of issues. We tolerate very high levels of inequality amongst our children in this country. Higher, I think, very great to have a child in the audience. higher, as far as I can tell, than almost any other country in Europe. Many things for young people are getting rapidly worse. And these are young people you're teaching. And not only do you have to worry about the exams they've got to take and the pressure on them, but they're entering a world in the UK which in many ways is worse than it has been just 5 or 10 years ago. So one example, since 2010, private landlords have increased their wealth by £177 billion. That's from the Financial Times. All these sources I'm going to give you are mainstream. £177 billion increased wealth to private landlords. The number of people who rent for a private landlord has doubled between the last two censuses, and it's still increasing. The latest Family Resources Survey came out 2 weeks ago, and it showed the most remarkable statistic I stuck up on my website, and I managed to get in the Telegraph newspaper, but it's hidden. The Family Resource Survey showed that there has been net no escape from private renting in the last 10 years. So if any of you were private renting 10 years ago, and are still private renting now, you're normal. In fact, the proportion of people of these age cohorts has actually increased slightly. Now, in the past, people would get out of private renting as they got older. So your youngsters are looking at the future, if things carry on as they are, where the majority of people under 50 will be private renting for the rest of their lives. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's where the current trends currently are. And these are things that will be taught about the UK in 20 or 30 years' time, can't be taught to children now. Just as we tell people now we had an empire, we worried about where we got rubber from, we weren't particularly nice. But we couldn't say that back at the time. Who are the children you'll be teaching? 20 years ago, many of you can remember 1997, just over a quarter, 27% of all children in the UK were living in poverty. And 26% of pensioners were living in poverty. By 2010, those proportions had come down to 18% and 17% respectively. That isn't very good. You could have actually gotten down a lot more than 18% and 17%, but it was down. Since 2010, child poverty's gone up to 22%, and the Institute of Physical Studies say by 2021, which isn't very long away, it'll be back up to 26%. So the children taking the new GCSEs, a quarter of them will be poor and relatively getting poorer. I'm trying to give you the context, and I will try and cheer you up a bit as we go through. There are so many wider things than £3 billion being taken out of schools and losing six members of the staff at secondary school that are bad. And there's a danger if you just look at education, you think this is terrible, but the outside situation is not necessarily good. Pensioner poverty doesn't matter very much to children, but it's quite important. That 4 to 17% of pensioners being poor stopped in 2010. It's gone flat since then. We've had no improvement in pensioner poverty since 2010. The triple lock hasn't made pensioners much better off. Since 2011, can you guess the only country in Europe which has seen no improvement in life expectancy? It's us. Which again, you won't be teaching your children, and that kind of thing isn't allowed to be in the curriculum. Now, admittedly, there are other countries in Europe with very, very small increases in life expectancy, but it is unprecedented. From 2011 to 2015, no improvement in life expectancy. I think the main reason is that pensioner poverty stopped improving, because most of the deaths are elderly people. I'll get through this fairly quickly and we'll get on to GCSE, but I thought I'd give you some. If you want a geographical contrast, the contrast, the most extreme one is Norway. Last time I actually gave a lecture with babies in the audience is Norway, so I'm feeling optimistic things got better. But there were three babies in the audience in Norway. And they're not more fertile, they're just less worried about being a baby. Norway since 2011 has increased its life expectancy by 1 year. Whole year. It's now 82.4. Eurostat figures came out 2 weeks ago for all these countries in Europe. We were doing better than Greece in 2011. It wasn't very hard. Greece was in a very bad way in 2011. Now the Greeks are living about 6 weeks longer than we are. Okay. So that is a bit of a depressing summary, but it's a statistical summary. It's using sources that are all publicly available. Haven't mentioned Brexit. Haven't talked about anything else. It's not looking particularly good as far as trends go. The good news stuff is that at the moment we don't have any area that's depopulating. We aren't demolishing housing anywhere, which we were doing before. Suicide rates amongst young people are not especially high. It could be much, much worse. But that's my summary about UK trends in 2017, so you don't feel cheated that I haven't talked about that. But let's get on to this GCSE. Now, this is where I could have gone wrong, but this is my assumptions from having looked at the old GCSE. I've looked at AQA, by the way. It's far too hard for somebody like me to look at more than one of these. Look at the old one, which is being taken this summer, and to look at the new one. There's just so much more in it. So the question is, what would you do? What would you want as a parent for your teachers to be doing when there's so much more? Already, children in Britain are extremely stressed at age 15 and 16 with the load that they're already given. the NET conference has things about mental health amongst younger children at key stage tests, but it's not good. There is no way, I think, of getting through the new GCSE without more rote learning of all those facts that you're supposed to regurgitate. But you've got to try to make it fun. That little graph there just shows the kind of things that I tend to look at. That's showing you inequality along the bottom, the share of the top 1%, which is very high in the USA, and the proportion of people who walk and cycle to work along the side. It's not saying one causes the other, it's saying the two things are related. Different countries make very different choices. The Netherlands, half the population walk or cycle to work. In the US, it's just 3%. And there are geographical differences between countries at the moment that are very, very interesting to study. But you won't be allowed to study them until you get to university, if you get to university in that kind of way. I'm going to show you two more bubble graphs, and then I'm going to take some questions from the new GCSE and say what I do. Here's a very vague relationship. Again, along the bottom, you've got the take of the 1%, up to 20% in the United States, of all income is taken by just 1% of the people. In the UK, it's around about 14-15%. Might be dropping at the moment, but still high. And you'll see that the countries where the rich take less, which are more equal, children tend to do better. In this case, at the PISA score in mathematics in 2012, at age 15, 16. But very vague relationship is there, and we find this in other things. The same vague relationship is found for problem solving and for literacy in PISA. PISA is not a reliable international survey. PISA is a big, big industry, and it's worth investigating how it works. For instance, the one before 2012 on the PISA international scores, they normalised all the scores to a normal distribution without telling anybody when they released them, and only told people 3 years later that's what they'd done. The most recent PISA, 2015, I'll show you in a minute why I don't use it. The most recent PISA, the one that's used to say that Wales is doing terribly and England's doing well, about a tenth of all children in the survey in England are said to have special needs and excluded from the sample before the results are put out. If anybody has got the patience to spend a month working on it, looking at 2015 PISA and asking why England had the highest number of children surveyed and excluded of every country in PISA is worth doing if you're interested. Anyway, vague relationship, inequality, and doing well at a standardised international test. Maths is one of the best things to compare internationally because it's similar. This is a little survey that PISA did in 2012 where they did this very similar questions, but rather than asking people at age 15 or 16, they gave them a maths test up to age 24. And I've gone on about this a bit, so apologies if you've heard me playing before, but it lines up partly from chance. How many of you know how to do a Spearman-Rank correlation? Oh, very good. That's good because it's in the new GCSE. Okay. Okay, chance is part of it, so you don't get things that good. But what is going on with mathematics here is that we in the United States are particularly abysmal by age 24. Because I think, and you may have another idea, in the US and UK, in these very unequal countries, your exam results really, really matter. They determine your future. They determine whether you're going to work at McDonald's or whether you're going to have a nicer life. When I was in the United States a few years ago, I was on a bus in Santa Barbara, and I asked children what they were doing on the bus, and they said they were cramming, they were going to cram for their exams. And I asked them why, and they said because they didn't want to work at McDonald's all their life. So we and you work as hard as you can to get the absolute maximum scores out of your children. It doesn't matter what kind of school you're teaching at. It can be one of the most expensive private schools in the country, but you're now being judged against other very expensive private schools and you've got to get maximum marks. It could be a school in a very rough area with a lot of kids coming in and leaving every year. You're still going to be judged on progress, eh? You've still got to get the maximum marks. Getting the maximum marks is different from teaching well. That has tended to be forgotten in this country. There are two different things. Getting a child to get a 9 at GCSE is not the same as teaching them how to be a good geographer. In fact, they are inversely correlated. Occasionally, there may be a child who can be very good at geographical imagination and learn all the answers they're supposed to give and give the correct answer, which is not the correct answer, it's the one the examiner has been told is correct. But in general, the child who's got a great geographical imagination, we'll look at the exam paper and we'll give different answers to the ones they're supposed to give, which will get them the higher marks. I think this lines up because in these countries which are more equitable, where things are a bit more laid back, where teaching can work better, where there's less scrutiny, the outcomes are better. Partly because there's less pressure on the children because the exam marks don't matter so much. That's the end of that. Okay, so you know all of this. It's going to be graded by number, back to the past, except the numbers are the other way around. 100% terminal exams, including, as far as I can see, children have to memorise things about their homework to be written up in the exam. Spelling matters. There will almost certainly be spelling and punctuation and grammar mistakes on these slides. I cannot spell. My grammar is awful. What Mr. Gove never understood is that doesn't stop you writing books. I would love to have better grammar. I would love not to make continuous spelling mistakes, but it isn't the worst thing in the world that I do. But they're going to have to try not to. And maths and stats, more maths and stats coming in. And lots of specialist terminology. This is from the AQA website, which they're just going to have to memorise them. Now, my suggestion here, because I've only got 10 minutes before I must stop, is, and you're teachers, so you'll probably tell me what this is about, that I would come clean with them. I would say to them, look, you're going to have to learn these things. You're going to have to learn them in this particular way. And this is harder than it has been before. But I would tell them, and perhaps tell the ones who are doing better this, the answers you have to give are not necessarily the right answers, but they're the answers that you have to give to get the mark. And the reason I would tell them this, and you may say that that's going to confuse the hell out of them, I won't do that. The reason is because I get to teach them later. And I'm not worried about them being clever or not, because we give them all 2-1s and firsts and occasionally a 2-2. If they get into university, they're going to pass. I worry about their mental health. But it's true, you know it's true, you've all been to university, right? Really, you've got to drink your way to fail, or you know, not be able to make it up. They're going to pass at university. The problem is, and you'll notice from who you're teaching, and it gets worse at university age, the problem is their mental health. And this worries you when you're teaching them. The problem is they don't think they're good enough. And when it comes to university exams, they are petrified. Because there are no specimen papers. There is no marking scheme. The exams are set in every department separately and alter every year, depending on who's gone on sabbatical and who's just turned up. So you can't predict the questions. And even if you can predict the questions are so vague that you've got no idea what the correct answer is in your first year university exams or your third year university exams. Now, this wasn't so bad when I was at university, because I hadn't been rote tested how to pass A-level and O-level before GCSEs. But the students I teach have, particularly the students I teach. You know, the one thing the students I teach can do is get a high exam mark. At GCSE, they have to, otherwise they don't get an interview. And then they've got to get A star AA to get in. So they know how to pass exams, which makes a university exam absolutely terrifying. But it isn't just Oxford, this is across the board. So what I'm suggesting to you is that for their future stability, understanding that there isn't a truth might be of some use. So things that may be wrong here. Birth rate. They've got to learn its number of births in a year per 1,000 total population, because that's what they get a mark for if asked. It isn't what I call the birth rate. The birth rate I call is done by a number of women. We don't tend to think men can have babies. But on the specification, that is the birth rate. The Commonwealth is definitely a voluntary association of 53 independent and equal countries that came together. Okay? And that's it. They need to know not to write down it's a legacy of empire and it doesn't mean very much now. Because they won't get any marks for that. But also, I think it's an education to learn that you're being told you have to say one particular thing. The European Union, definition we may have changed. Something I'll be under that. things are slowly getting better, and of course what happens in universities is not the be-all and end-all wonderful for university geography, but the change is slow. We finally got high income and low income. It may have been in before, for all I know, you can say we've been using those words, rather than calling countries less developed because they're not trying hard enough, and more developed because we're so highly developed here. So the language does change, and there is improvement. Just go through a few. How many of you are sick of teaching about Rio yet? I don't know, a few of you will be. And you have to teach about Rio. I've taken examples, so Soy Fenn and the authors of the free textbooks are here. I've taken examples from all the free textbooks, and only from the bit where you get the free specimen bit of the textbook off the website. So, Rio's environmental challenges are apparently this sort of set of things. And I think I've got the question. Traffic pollution in Rio, how could it be solved? And the right answers are extending the metro system a little bit, new toll roads are apparently good things, and making the coast road one way during rush hour. So they have to know, that's what they have to say. I think it would help them if they know that that is what they have to say, but it isn't necessarily true. So, if you remember that slide right at the beginning when I showed you an unequal country and how many people walk or cycle to work, Brazil is the most unequal country in the world. It vies with South Africa to get the top place. Rio, you can taste the diesel in the air in Rio. It is absolutely disgusting. Very economically unequal countries have awful transport systems. People are scared of each other. They feel safe in the car. On the underground in Rio, everybody carries their rucksack on the front. Nobody ever puts their rucksack on the back because you might have something stolen. The real answer, I think, about how do you solve Rio's traffic problems is much wider than just putting in a toll road, right? But this is the answer you have to give to get the marks. Now, is that just too much for a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, or a 16-year-old? The amount of obscure facts that this group are going to have to learn, you know, ways of measuring the size of earthquakes in different orders is just stunning. And they're going to have to learn how to do correlation coefficients, which I first properly learned as a first year student of mathematics at university. And the reason I learned it at university, not even in a geography degree, I did half maths, half geography, was so you actually could know what Spearman-Mann coalition was actually about. Right? This forcing so many things into these minds at this level, I think is a bit dangerous, but they need to know it to get the high number. But I think they also need to know that they're being asked too much of them so that they don't worry too much about what they're being asked to do. Why is inequality still a challenge in London? This is from another one of these books. Low life expectancy in the most deprived parts of the city is closely linked to poor diet. Diet's far worse in Kensington and Chelsea. Alcohol consumption is far higher. Consumption of meat's higher. Now, do you tell them that? If you know it, if you spot something you're not quite sure, or we just say, you need to learn that the reason that people are dying at a higher rate in these parts of London is they're not eating very well. What isn't in there? The reasons for the huge differences between life expectancy in London is migration. Only very, very affluent people turn up in Kensington and Chelsea. Nobody in Kensington and Chelsea who's old started off like that, hardly anybody. It's a migration centre. The poor parts of London are where you end up if you've got no money, but it's migration. It's not your behaviour there, it's what's happened to you in life. But we don't have that in GCSE. Realise their potential. I promise you that before most of you retire, this phrase will be damned. This phrase that's grown so strong in Britain, every child must realise their potential. It is actually in the rights of the child under the United Nations. So it's not a particularly nasty phrase, but it comes with a connotation that every child has a potential. We don't know what it is, but it varies, and they must all be forced to get their number. I only learned in the last week that the phrase actually came from Aldous Huxley. Not in Brave New World, but later on in his life when he was in America. The idea of we're containers with different levels of ability to do things. But that idea is what has driven all of this. To get the high mark in the GCSE, you need to say that life expectancy is a measure of deprivation. Well, you know that men have a lower life expectancy than women. So is that telling you that men are more deprived than women? It's not a measure of deprivation. It's something that can be affected by deprivation. So I'm suggesting, and I'm almost on the minute, so I must stop. What I'm suggesting is that you literally teach to the test. Even if you're teaching over 3 years, you teach through the specimen papers and the answers that have to be given. Because of the quantity of material, but the way of making it less soul-destroying is you talk about the possibility of other answers being right, but of understanding that you cannot put those other answers in if they're not the answers which are expected. And I worry about my level of cynicism. But I do think if I was a teacher, you'd sort of think you've got to do something different. You can't do what you were doing 2 or 3 years ago. Because it isn't, of course, just your GCSE. At the same time, they're trying to do a maths GCSE, which is now, you know, semi-A-level level. They're worrying about getting the equivalent of a B or an A in English, otherwise your academy score will chuck them out at 16, because that's what now happens. All the other pressures are mounting. I talked to some primary school teachers a few months ago about what happens to geography in primary. And it isn't that much because of the other pressures that have risen in primaries. So the outside pressure increases. So the correct answer is about answering the question of not going off piece, not going off method. And there's loads of it. And there's more of it. On and on and on. And whoever's marking these GCSEs, you might think, surely they could spot a really imaginative child who's given a different answer and given a high mark. They'll be trying to get through their samples of marking in the time that they've got to mark. And they have to get the same mark that somebody else who marks the sample of their marking gives to check that it's valid. You can't have the leeway to reward a child for saying, actually, Rio's fundamental problem is that it's a city in the most unequal country in the world. And that's why the air pollution is really bad. Here's another correct answer. Right? Children will have to say that the trams in South London are environmentally good because they run electricity and do not release greenhouse gases. Now the question is, can you tell your children that when that electricity was produced, or is it too much for them? Is it too confusing to be told that you're living in an adult world where I have to teach you something that isn't true to get the mark? You know, maybe some of these errors will disappear, but there are always errors, because in reality, there isn't actually a right answer. I've given you what I think my right answers are. You know, I happen to think inequality matters maybe more than it really does because I look at it. And maybe I don't know about South London. You know, maybe the electricity that's been powering the trams in South London comes from a solar panel park somewhere in Kent and isn't, you know, generated by gas power stations. I could be wrong. There are no absolutely right answers. Is now the time, with the new GCSEs, to begin to tell young people this? Which would be great, and it would be a huge step forward. As big a step forward as the changes from no longer being taught geography to be taught how to be a colonial officer, which was a big step forward in the past. Finally, specimen paper 3 from the AQA. How many of you are doing AQA, by the way? Good, so it's for EdExcel? Ooh, okay, I won't ask anymore. Study figure 1. A map showing the location of 10 of the world's top 10 megacities. Well, and that's question number 1 in the specimen paper. Things have obviously been rushed, haven't they? Must have been. Okay, so it's 10 of the top 10, so it's probably the 10. It isn't. Because there are bigger cities in China. Right? But don't go, oh, this is just early days and ironing, you know, it'll all be better in a few years' time. It isn't going to be better. What could be better? If it is possible, not to demoralise youngsters, but to show them respect, is to put that up and say, who can spot what's wrong with that question? But if you come across a question in the exam where you can tell it's wrong, you've still just got to try to answer it. And in fact, they make it really easy because lower down, just beneath there, they put the names of the two cities that are missing. So it's 50-50. And that's exam technique. And it's partly life. You know, realising that something that you might have thought a bit hard isn't as hard makes you feel better about life and happy about life. I'm 4 minutes over the time. I'm not being deliberately cynical. I have a 15-year-old child going through GCSEs at the moment. The worst thing that a 15-year-old child can have is an academic parent. It's even worse than having a teacher as a parent is an advantage to children. Those of you who've gone through this may not think that, but we know from studies that the children of teachers do better. Partly because you know how to teach. Children of academics don't do better. Because academics tended to have found it all very easy and can't understand why their children just can't get it. Their children just can't get it because their children are more normal. But what my 15-year-old is having to go through is far worse than what I had to go through. And it's far worse because back in the day when I did it, most kids weren't trying. Because they were going to leave in the Easter at 15. Right? So this was a little game being played by a subset of us. Now, all the kids are being made to compete at the same time. And so the pressure goes up and up on all of them. And that is why I think teaching them something which isn't about the competition in a way, but actually helps them in the competition, might be useful, might be beneficial. Thank you for your patience with my mad ideas. Please think of some questions for me. We've got about 15 minutes. Thank you very much. Who's brave?
I think it does actually depend which specification you're doing. And you've chosen a specification which actually does positive marking, so if they write the correct geography, they will get credit. Right. I have been assured by people
that
exam board. So I think there's variation. If I hope that gives you heart, but there's variation.
Okay. So yes, and not negative marking. Yes.
I wonder whether you're talking about a number of different things, and whether there are the things that are wrong, which somebody, you know, maybe like yourself, who can sit there with a tooth comb and go, I think maybe you need to change that, is really helpful, because things that are wrong are just wrong. And then there's the things that are quite complicated, and actually, you know, like they do in science quite a lot, making them understandable is quite important, so that the students have a base understanding of it before trying to address some of the complexities. So I wonder whether the traffic thing falls in there. There are better ways to sort out a traffic system before needing to understand how you solve the whole country's problems.
Yeah.
And that actually that's quite helpful in terms of the education of a 15-year-old child. And then I wonder whether there are things that, like you're suggesting, actually showing them that we have reduced them, we have made them simpler, are really important conversations to have, and conversations about things like inequality, development, and things that are perhaps a bit more controversial that we have really reduced to an exam answer. Those are where the conversations are really important, and whether actually there's a number of different things going on in there that requires perhaps skill to unpick.
Yeah, I think it's tricky. Over right and wrong, the problem is that on many things other than climate change, on everything apart from climate change, there is this agreement. You know, the only thing that we are fairly sure is happening is climate change, but you won't find 95% of people agreeing on much else. There are the obvious areas, like that top 10 one, but the ones I think are much more interesting is, you know, I was taught about the glaciation that was coming. So there will be things that we are teaching people now that many of us believe to be true that will be wrong. But they don't. And the reason why you might tell a child that is, this is an exercise in getting a mark. So if you think you've spotted something that nobody else in the world has spotted, don't put it down. You are trying to second guess the marker. I don't think we should be trying to say, can we get to a set of exam papers in a few years' time which are beautiful and correct? I don't think it's possible. Can we differentiate children between 9, 8 and 7 to work out the alpha-alpha children, the alpha children and the Michael Goves? That's not how children come. So I'm trying to think of a way of beginning to get out of this. But I know that all you can do is concentrate on the exams, but it's, can you do something that actually helps the exams at the same time? There were talk in 2009 and 10 of doing very different things for GCSEs. And as far as I know, the only reason that this has happened is Michael Gove. If it had been a different education secretary, this wouldn't have happened. But maybe so the question.
But there are some structural things in the system, like our concern about the way in which these exams are marked and the quality of understanding of the person marking it, and the ability to give credit for good geography that may not be exactly those three comments about the transport system in Rio. And surely some of this is on the other side of the equation in saying, actually, we need a group of markers who are capable of distinguishing the subtle, the large variety of good geographical responses to a question about Rio's system, and not just distinguishing the children who've regurgitated the particular text that relates to the particular exam board that everyone or most children happen to be using, because as a marker, that's what you tend to see.
Yeah.
But as someone who has marked, you also tend to be able to give credit for some exam boards. Some are more prescriptive than others and are more tolerant of...
I would agree that would be great. For me, I suspect it depends on the right to ask for remarking. If people are still allowed to ask for remarking at the same rate that they were before, then the exam boards are going to really want to get the marks to have a very low degree of variation. And the only way you can have a very low degree of variation is by being very prescriptive to what the markers have to do. I would much rather markers had a bit more variety, but they will end up giving different... One marker will give a different mark to another then. And it's... Exam board doesn't want to be remarking a lot of stuff and for it to come out that many of the grades were very different.
I just wondered if you'd had a chance to look at the A level and what you thought about the changes there.
The M25 wasn't working this morning, so I failed to get to the talk on the A level. I'm going to look at the A-level next, partly because I want to know what it is that the young people I get to stand up in front of when the 19 have just done.
And also the progression and how it moves from one to the other. My feeling, partly because of doing two different exam boards, but it doesn't seem to flow very well from one to the other in terms of skills, and even in terms of terminology, like there's no licks and hicks and A-level. Yeah. It's different again then.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's interesting. But also, you know, it's classic, it's happened to you. How many of you did a geography degree at university? Just check, it's a vast, vast majority, okay. And how many of you found that your geography degree had very little to do with your A-level geography? Yeah, okay. Now, that isn't saying that what we do in universities is necessarily good. But also, you know, the A-level isn't necessarily... It's a very old-fashioned thing. The one nice thing about the A-level is it hasn't been tampered with by governments that much. You know, I think the best thing going for the A-level is it's been tampered less. But why are we teaching that particular A-level in that way? You know, I still wonder, why are we trying to get kids to identify wave-cut platforms? But I applied to be on the board looking at the syllabus 4 years ago and they never applied to my letter. For some reason, the government didn't want me involved.
My understanding of the new A-level, I could be wrong, but was the universities are a lot more involved with the new A-level than they have been with previous ones. And I actually think, and just going back to the very first comment that was made over there, that the new GCSE does progress better now into the A-level. And I think that's reflected if you look at the weightings of the assessment objectives, AO3, which is really kind of evaluative comment, which is kind of the opposite of bits of what you were talking about there, has increased now. And I think that, we're not doing AQA, but the example that we've chosen...
Which was that?
I think it's OCR. I think there actually is scope for students to come up slightly more with their own... the way we teach them is that there is a body of geographical knowledge at their disposal to argue their point. And I actually think it's quite a good... change in the new GCSE. But I think it's been a really interesting lecture because I do think you're quite right. There are still examples where a child, there is still that element of kind of what you might call rote learning. And I do think rote learning will still be credited in the new GCSE, but I do think there's a bit more scope to actually, certainly in OCR, I think, to actually convey something that might be a little bit more original because of the way the assessment objectives are now being weighed up.
Okay, that's very useful. Got time for another couple? Do you want to ask another one?
I just really interested in the point that you're making, because it comes back a little bit to some of the disciplinary discussions that have been happening over the past few years about knowledge. And I guess I wonder whether this is moving with the times of geography, saying actually knowledge really is important, and you can't assess and evaluate unless you have knowledge. And so whether, and I'd be interested to see whether you think this is, they've done it successfully, but I wonder whether what they've been trying to do is give students enough knowledge to then be able to have those conversations about it.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I was talking to a school teacher last night who said who works in a middle class school in Sheffield, just to say that. He said that their problem now is middle class white boys. For trying to cram into a 15-year-old boy that amount of knowledge when they're not that interested. And the white aspect of this is that the non-white pupils are more aspirational because their parents tended to have had a worse job and they really wanted their kids to do well. Whereas the white middle-class boys were just a little bit lazy and a bit normal. We've kind of left out the scope for that. You know, it really does seem to be jamming in, jamming in, jamming in. And it isn't producing good international results. And the irony is that Gove introduced this because he was worried about the PISA results. But Gove would never accept, I think, that the reason that our PISA results are so bad is that our inequality levels have been so high because of initially a Conservative government that came to power in 1979. So Gove is very clever. but I don't think he's ever even heard that argument, and I certainly believe he wouldn't accept it.
I think, like I teach sociology at A-level and then GCSE geography, and I'm always just struck by the sheer lack of theory in GCSE geography, when you even compare it to GCSE sociology. I mean, there is no Marxism, there is no, there are no other theories. There are no theories in GCSE geography. I don't teach difference. I don't teach a different way of looking at things. Well, if I'm teaching with a textbook, it's either that is the right answer, or there's a few other ways to do it, but it seems to be very managerial in its way of looking at the world. Tweak something and it will happen. There's no grand narrative. There's no big questions that we can ask the kid.
That's interesting. Because things will change again. They always change. This will last in this particular form 5, 8, 10 years, and then something else will alter. I know people hate change, and that's the worst thing, but I think we can now tell that things will do change. Do you want one last question from anybody over there?
How would you propose to challenge the implications of the fact that I think it's quite disheartening for a 15 or 16 year old to be told that this is wrong in inverted commas, that you've just got to toe the line? I mean, I find sometimes things are disheartening because I'm an older lady, but how would you go about doing that with children when the teacher, who they respect, and who is telling them that this is all wrong?
I wouldn't say it's all wrong. I'd just say that. I'd say that it isn't always 100% right. Yeah. I do it that way. And the way I cope with the disheartening nature is that, in a way, this whole process is disheartening. I forgot the word, but it's something like 42% of kids fail part of Key Stage 3, and actually have failed written on things. We're running a whole process which is disheartening to many people. The kids who are going to get 2, 3, 4, 5s are going to be disheartened. The ones who predicted that will be disheartened. If you partly tell them that this isn't a perfect sausage machine that is grading their potential, the Fisher Family Trust haven't got it worked out exactly, and it isn't all down to their own individual aspiration what happens to them, that is less disheartening than being told that these particular numbers have been assigned to you. Are ones that you can alter ever so slightly if you work really hard, but really that's how the world works. That's a really disheartening message. And I now, the last 4 years since I've taught at Oxford, I see the kiddies who are, in a theory, least disheartened from this at all. They're the ones who pass everything all the time. And even they're disheartened. So something which says, you're not an A-star child. This isn't how the world works. But we've set up a set of tests like this. And they were partly set up by somebody who did believe that there were gold and silver and bronze children. I think we've reduced your being disheartened a little bit. But you can't say to start with that, obviously politically you can't say it the way I can say it. But if you only have one childhood. And if your childhood happens to be these coming years in the UK, it's going to be a very different age 14, 15 or 16 to if you were in Finland or if you were in France. I think we can calm it down a bit from the potential damage that could be caused by the sheer amount of work, the extra work the children are going to have to do. If they could charge for homework £10 an hour, the amount of homework we'd be forcing them to do, and then at the end of the day, the kind of disappointment from the numbers. And the real irony of all this is that we've made GCSEs possibly the hardest exam now, whereas in much of the rest of the world, they're beginning to think about not having a formal exam at age 15, 16. The hardest exam used to be A-level, and that determines what happened to you. A-level's now less hard because Russell Group universities are increasing their intake by 7% every year. So you don't actually need to get those A-levels if you want to get to university. What you need to do is think, do I want a £50,000 debt or not? That's how much the world has changed in the last 10 years. A-level is no longer the hardest exam. The hardest exam is now GCSE. The GCSEs can result in you not being allowed to be at particular schools because we've got rid of the 11 plus and introduced the 16 plus, which is what academies in effect have, because they don't have to take anybody they don't want at 16. So children are being moved around cities in a way that they were last moved around in the 1960s when we had the 11 plus. Very, very strange, and it's a lot of change in a short amount of time. Thank you for putting up with my ranting.